So good to have you with us. A few weeks ago, a couple months ago, we started a series about spiritual warfare. We went through all the pieces of the armor of God and explained them and tried to apply them to our lives and see how they address the different tactics of the enemy. And then a couple times we read the verses out of Ephesians chapter 6. It says, stand up, stand firm. And the Lord said, we need to talk about how to stand. We asked why. We asked how. And then we get to the point where we need to say, what do we stand up for? And as you see, we've built a platform here. It's got three legs on it. It stands for the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And based upon that, on the top is the Word of God. Those are the four eternal truths that everything has to be based on. And so we looked at those four eternal truths about the Bible. Where it speaks, we listen and obey. We looked at God because in the Bible we find God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and who they are, their roles, and their impact in our lives. We talked about God the Father, the first in the Trinity, and we live to bring honor and glory to God. We talked about Jesus, the second person in the Trinity, and we need to accept and submit to the lordship of Jesus. And then we talked about the Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, where we surrender and follow the indwelling Spirit. What we choose to follow, what we choose to stand up for, is summarized in truth and righteousness. The truth is these four eternal platforms. And everything we do in applying those truths to our lives is how we live in righteousness or how we live in right standing with God. Anything I stand for has to be based on the Word of God. What God said, what Jesus said, what the Holy Spirit said, everything has to be based on His Word. For His Word is what? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And it's the same, why do you use a flashlight? Why do you get up and use a flashlight? Because you're walking in darkness. You're standing up going in darkness. And that's what the Word of God needs. It is a guide into the world that we walk now. And so where do we walk? We see these different things in our society that the Word says that we need to stand up for. And so we've talked about life. We talked about gender. We talked about sexuality. We talked about race, and we talked about marriage. Now, those are important things that we need to stand up for. And I have a question to ask. Does the Bible speak to those issues? Yes, it does. Now, there's a couple more issues that the Bible addresses that I think is very appropriate for us to talk about. And we can only talk about those things, not in opinionating, because it seems like it's real easy to opinionate today. We only can talk about these things biblically. What does the Bible say? And then how do we live it out? How do we apply those truths in a righteous way as we live? How does politics and the church relate? This morning we're talking about how these two relate together, because I don't know if you noticed, but there is a struggle in the church today. And there's a struggle in politics. So I need to apply what the Word of God says when it applies to the church and firmly put it in there, and then what the Word of God says and applies to politics. And I need to stand on those. But I'm standing up here because of what the Word of God says. I cannot say anything outside of the Word of God. I can't take these topics and I can't take them over here and say, well, the Bible really doesn't address race, so I don't need to talk about race. Well, you know, the Bible says a lot about race. So we need to make sure that everything we talk about is planted on the firm Word of God. I have now talked about politics four times. And once was in March of 2008. You got to remember, what was happening in 2008? Well, there was a very divisive proposition that was going forth in May, and that was the definition of what a true marriage is. And there was a great argument between marriage, the definition. Then June 2016. What happened in 2016? Was it a presidential election? We had to talk about it again in August of 2016. And the last time I spoke about it was January of this year in 2020. I remember I went back to my notes in 2008, and the sermon was entitled, Was America Truly Founded on Christian Principles? And then I went to 2016, and I asked this question, Have you decided who to vote for? And then I followed up with, What are the biblical characteristics of a Christian voter? I went back, and I thought, that was a really good sermon. I went back and I read my notes and I think, I needed to hear that again. Now, this was the first time that I really went out standing on the Word of God and trying to figure out what the Bible says Christian characteristics are of the voter. We first of all said, number one, Christian voters recognize that God ordains leaders and authorities. And we took that time and we looked at Romans 13. It's a great book. It's a short chapter, Romans 13, and talked about how God ordains and sets leaders and authorities. And it describes good leaders to do God's agenda, to do His work, but recognizing also that there's evil leaders, there's evil authority out there. And we talked about that God ordains leaders. God uses righteous leaders and He uses unrighteous. We have biblical evidence going back and forth, and we have so many Old Testament, New Testament figures that followed leaders that did good, and we have examples of Bible characters who disobeyed evil leaders, evil authority. And then I love on that part, we went to Proverbs 29:2. When the godly are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked are in power, the people suffer. So we know that there's good leaders, bad leaders, good authority, bad authority. We also understand in Ephesians chapter 6 that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities. Those are the physical ones that we interact with. There's good and there's not good. We know that we follow the authorities that are after God's agenda, God's purpose, and good. And then we said, number two, Christian voters, they get involved. Now, for some reason, throughout our Christian history, we have separated voting, politics, and the church. It was a Johnson Amendment that threatened pastors. But we read in the scriptures that there is Old Testament and New examples how believers, followers of God, got involved with politics, got involved with the leaders, and we need to stand up. We have a vote. We have a God-given right to vote. And the Bible is full of examples about how we are supposed to select leaders, select authorities among us. And then we said, Christian voters have a dual citizenship. You are citizens of heaven, the Bible describes, that is if Jesus is the Lord of your life, and you're citizens of this great country. The Bible talks about that one is precedent over the other. There was examples of how Paul and the apostles, how they followed good leaders and how they rejected bad leaders and how they opposed when the government or the politics of their days told them, do not speak any more in the name of Jesus. Do not perform any more healings. Do not teach the people any more. And what did Peter and what did the other apostles do? No. Are we to obey God or man? And then we said, Christian voters keep Jesus number one. He is the reason. He is the subject for everything. And then I closed with this quote, and I'll share with you this. This is back in 2016. It's okay to disagree and debate with others, but it's not okay to put Jesus aside and allow your politics to form your faith. Your faith should form your politics. So now we need to talk about politics again. So in the history of my preaching, I will write down what is August 2020. Because of the divisions that are happening in the church, we need to stand up for what the Word of God says. Because right now, the church is being divided on two fronts. Now, that doesn't surprise me, because for a few weeks, maybe a few months, I've been revealing to you, reminding you that there are three agendas that the enemy has. especially in these last days. Number one is to distract us. Has there been anything in your world that has been distracting you? Then he wants to divide us. I have said this probably a few times. I have never seen the church so divided in my life. As the culture goes, it seems as the church follows. And then the third thing he wants to do is to destroy us, to silence us, to nullify us. And how he goes about fulfilling his agenda takes a lot of us by surprise. We didn't see this coming. So we need to talk about it again, because in less than 3 months, our country is going to go to the polling places. Our country is going to go and put in their votes, their ballots. And I can't wait to go to the place that I've gone for several years and to cast my ballot. It's an honor. It's a privilege. It's a right. I actually view it as an act of worship to God. But this is probably one of the most important elections of my lifetime. So we're not just electing a president. We're electing a philosophy for our nation. We don't elect just one man, but we also get the vice president. We also get his cabinet. We also get opportunity to vote for the legislative body of this country, the Senate and the House of Representatives, who have great impact on our everyday life. This election is also about Supreme Court nominees and who will be appointed for a lifetime. And then the lower courts. Everything is affected by what we do on November 3rd. It's not just about a man. It's about the trajectory of our country. So today, I may end up telling you who to vote for. Today, I may end up telling you what political party you should vote for. But I will definitely tell you this morning, beyond a shadow of doubt, of how Christians should be biblically based and vote biblical values. I want you to listen very clearly. In fact, you can see on my notes, it is highlighted in blue. No person running for office is without sin. No political party is without its faults. We are voting for people just like you and I and everybody out there who need the unmerited grace and favor of God in their lives, because they are sinners by nature. Every person running for office, male or female, are sinners in need for the grace of God, just like you and I. Every single one of them have a past. Would you agree or disagree? We're not voting for a person. We're voting for principles, biblical values in this political world. So I told you back in 2016 that you need to come up with filters. You need to take your Bible and create filters and use those filters to strain out all the stuff that you see. I've told you not to watch political commercials. Don't you get tired of those. Don't listen to things. Don't pay attention to what you read on Facebook. If you're going to believe anything you read, start with the Bible first. And in the Bible, you're going to come up with filters. And I shared with you my personal, three of my five filters, and that was back in 2016. My filters have changed now because of 2020, and I may share those with you. But in 2016, I said, my filters are, number one, what is your view of life, the sanctity of life, pro-life or pro-choice? That has to be a filter for the believers. Why? Does the Bible speak about the preciousness of all life, born and unborn? Second filter was, what is their definition of marriage? I support a biblical definition of marriage. I support marriage between one woman and one man. And if that candidate or that platform or that proposition doesn't match that, I can't just ignore it in my Bible. I can't take the X-Acto knife and cut out those sections of Scripture that culturally doesn't fit me or my friends or my family members anymore. I have to have that filter, because that's when I'm held accountable to the Word of God. There's a third filter, and that is, what is their stance of Israel? Well, what does another country have to do with America? A lot. I don't want to be among the cursed who cursed Israel. I want to be among the blessed who blessed Israel. That is God's chosen country for a purpose for all generations to come. And we support Israel. But not all candidates support Israel. And if you have those surveys, and all candidates get these surveys, and they choose not to answer those questions because they know that their real answer is not what you want them to hear. So a no reply is a no. There is one party that supports Israel. There's another party that wants to remove support from Israel. Two other filters I had in 2015. I need to know which candidate, which party platform is going to protect the freedom of religious liberty in this country. And the fifth principle was, I need to know how they stand on public prayer. Those are issues, filters that I had back in 2016. But today, like I've said, things have changed in 2020. I have a little phrase I want to give you. We must prepare more to know what we stand for during this political, spiritual battle. Do you believe there's a political battle? It pales compared to what the spiritual battle is, and I hope by now you've understood that. I said that the church is in a battle because, number one, the church versus the COVID-19 response. We've already addressed COVID-19. It is a real virus. It is deadly for some people, the vulnerable. We know that, just like some other viruses and other diseases have been. But we also know that it has been politicized. It has been manipulated. It has been used to take advantage and control portions of society. Today, right now, the church is divided because some churches, I don't know if you've heard this or not, are gathering in objection to a ruler's commands. And we've said we're going to follow God. But we're doing it in a respectful, rightful manner. But there are other good churches, good pastors, good Christians that are not meeting. And I'm sad to say that we cannot respect one another's decisions. It is beginning to polarize the church. And you can start feeling it when you're talking to other churches. We used to divide over the name on the church, but now we're dividing whether we're actually going to meet or not. I am not here to condemn or condone anyone who is or isn't meeting. But I believe the church is greater than a building, but I also believe that there's power and purpose for the church to gather. And I do believe in this spiritual warfare that the enemies of the church, the authorities, the rulers are trying to separate the church from one another. In our church DNA, we are meant to be together. Now the church is being divided on another front, and that is whether we take a biblical stand or cultural stand. This is significant. Some cannot accept President Trump due to his public past. You know, when he lived as a businessman, he just lived out there in public, right? He was very public, and he enjoyed being very public. He can't escape his past, and some people can't accept his past. It is too immoral. Okay, I'm not sure where that falls biblically, but I think you probably get the idea. He wasn't a politician, and that upset because what politicians do, they hide and they bribe their pasts so they don't come out, and they use rhetoric. And they don't really know what you really don't know what they stand for. And it's been obvious that the current president, he's verbally made known what he's stood up for. He used to be affiliated with the Democratic Party. He would donate to both parties that would meet his agenda. He was a huge contributor to Planned Parenthood. But something changed in his life. He became associated now with the Republican Party. And he's pro-life. And some people cannot accept the fact that he has changed. See, businessmen, they just lay it out there. Politicians, they put layers upon it so you can't really know where they stand. Because don't you know, this is a time of season when every politician knows Christianese. You know what Christianese, right? They look for the church vote. whether they're believers in Christ or not, they begin to speak. They get invited to different churches, and they begin to try to obtain the Christian vote. And we're using the culture to filter our beliefs. Instead of taking our culture and filtering it through the Bible, now we're disagreeing. Good churches, good Christians, denominations, they have no problem with a pro-choice platform because of maybe other things that are on the platform. There is a group called the National Association of Evangelicals. In the United States alone, there's over 45,000 congregations that are members of the National Association of Evangelicals. That represents 42 different denominations. That's not worldwide, that's just the United States. So do you think that the National Association of Evangelicals has a large platform to stand on? They're a good group. We are not necessarily a member of that organization, but we respect that group. And so just this last week, they put out what they call their biblical balanced agenda. They have selected the eight areas that are most important for evangelicals to vote on. And I'm going to tell you right now up front that all eight areas are good. All eight areas are biblical. And they also claim that all eight areas have the same importance. They're equal in weight. And so what they do, they give you these eight areas, and the party, the platform, the person that checks more of the boxes should be the one that you should give your vote to. So if a party has maybe five check marks, they can ignore or pass the other three because they all have equal weight in their eyes. Are you wondering what these might be? Well, I am too. So I put this up here for you. Number one, protect religious freedom and liberty of conscience. Do you agree or disagree with that? All right. And number two, to safeguard the nature and sanctity of human life. Do you agree? I hope so. Three, to strengthen marriage, families, and children. Again, are these good? Are they biblical? Do they hold the same weight? Number four, seek justice and compassion for the poor and the vulnerable. Is that good? Is that biblical? Is that important? Yes. And then preserve human rights. Biblical? Absolutely. And then the next one, pursue racial justice and reconciliation. Is that good? Is that biblical? And is that important? Yes, it is. And then they have promote peace and restrain violence. They didn't have that in 2016. That was for the other countries, but now seems like we have issues here today. Is that good? Is that biblical? And is that important? It is. And then they conclude with number eight, the care for God's creation. I would bet all of you say those are good, all those are biblical, and all those important. However, I want to let you know that it's difficult to select a party because they are not crystal clear. Why? Because of what I said in the beginning. No one's perfect. Everyone's a sinner. A political platform has its faults. Why? Because they're all human driven. Some have such a huge problem because they're so offended with our president that there is no way they can get past his history and his rhetoric. He said that 20 years ago. He did that 12 years ago. And they're so offended by his tweets. Hey, I wish he didn't tweet as well. They're so offended that he just doesn't speak like a president is supposed to speak. I agree. I have been praying for laryngitis for a long time because I don't like the things that he says sometimes. I like a president who has honor and respect and all that of the Oval Office. I'm going to tell you right now, not all presidents honored the Oval Office. Some of them were out of control. Others, however, see Trump as being one who has checked more important check marks and can look past his history and can ignore what he says and focus on what he has done. I don't know of a single president, and I've liked a few of them, that haven't been immoral and who don't need Jesus and his righteousness to cover their sins. Every one of them are a lot like me, sinners saved by grace. Imagine if your history was out there for everybody. I need to take every single spiritual, biblical issue and topic and apply it to the Word of God. And then I do have some issues that seemingly are more important in the Word of God. And I know some will disagree with me. And I really have a hard time balancing the culture and the biblical standards. But I have to apply the Word of God and not excuse it or saying that was a temporary thing. For me, the right to life is incredibly important. Biblically, from the front to the back, I cannot avoid that. But I also recognize the extreme importance of all the other issues. But I'm only speaking for myself and how I read the Word of God. I need to say, make sure that I stand firmly on what the Bible says. Do you know voting was historic? Its founding is in the Word of God. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, the people were told, select capable men from all of the people, men who fear God, men who are trustworthy, and who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials, leaders, authority, over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Do you see how those four characteristics of what the Bible says are authorities and rulers need to fall under? Back in 2015, the Pew Research did a survey, and it was called Religion and Public Life. 62% of people say faith has very little impact on the way they vote. What I'm about to say is based on the Word of God, my understanding, and I know that I am not an expert on the Word of God, I'm still learning it, but I spent this week, and I think I've got witnesses, I spent this week not listening to what Facebook says, and I did not listen, nor did I watch the Democratic Convention, nor will I watch the Republican Convention. But what I can tell you is that I read every single word of the party's platforms, every word. For the Democratic platform, I read and highlighted all 80 pages. This is printing back and forth. I also read the Republican 60-page platform. The Republican platform from 2016 has not changed. They kept it for 2020. There's a lot of reasons why. And one of them is they stated that the important things of the Republican platform are still the same and there's still work to be done on all those areas. Now, however, since it was in 2016, there are some things that are outdated. For what I'm about to say is based on what I read in the party's platform. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to tell everybody out there. You have no right to opinionate unless you read the platform. I will not repost something that someone puts on Facebook without knowing that is true and accurate from the party's platform. Because there's everything out there. Everything out there. I've got Christian friends who are posting opposite views. And they love Jesus. Well, what does that do for our witness? I want to speak the truth, and I want to make sure that I put these platforms, because whatever they say publicly is one thing. What they put in print will be their guiding lines for the next 4 years. You have to read those platforms. So I read, and I found as I went through these two platforms, I found 10 very hot topics of opposition. 10 things that it seems like both these parties are in complete opposition of one another. And that is significant. I know when you ever have a PDF file, you know, you can search for words. And so last night we were just hanging out and I decided to search both of the platform, both of the documents, and I wanted to know how many times each one of them maybe referenced God. I mean, I'm a pastor. I'm a Christian. I think that would be interesting. Do you know that one of them mentioned the word God 16 times? Well, then I did the other one, and they mentioned God, but it was an adjective. It was God-given abilities. So I gave them credit for that one because that's positive, right? Your God-given abilities. And in that platform, then they mentioned the word God one time, God-given. And as Connor passes those out, I want to give you instructions. I want you to take these top 10 topics of opposition, and I want you to make a mark and which one you think lines itself up with biblical values. Some of them we've already talked about. And I know that some people agree and some people disagree with me, but that's okay. We have room in the body of Christ to disagree, but we don't have room in the body of Christ to take the word of God out of our politics. Are we clear on that? And so I just wanted to talk about these subjects, and I'm going to read for you my own words as I pulled them from the platforms. I did not pull this verbiage from Facebook or anywhere else. And when we're done on these 10 topics, I want you to add up how many A's and how many B's you have. And then if you need help to figure out who is A and who is B, I can let you know. But I don't think you're going to need much help. And so I'm just going to take this time and briefly go through this. First subject that we're going to talk about is abortion. All right? Party A, every woman has access to quality reproductive health care services, including safe, legal abortion, and to fully fund Planned Parenthood. Group B, firmly stand for the sanctity of life, the unborn child who has fundamental rights to life, protect the Hyde Amendment, and fully defund Planned Parenthood. Again, you select A or B. And then we're going to talk about same-sex marriage. Well, Pastor, you're in church. Don't talk like that. Well, I have to because it's a biblical thing and our cultural conflict about that, but it's also our church conflict about that. So Platform A says, we applaud the U.S. Supreme Court and their decision to legalize same-sex marriage. Platform B condemns the court's decision and supports the traditional view of marriage between one man and one woman. Three, immigration. Again, these are topics that I found in their platforms that are important. Open borders, Platform A says, open borders, a pathway to citizenship for all immigrants, documented and undocumented, sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. Platform B supports legal immigration, building southern wall, toughening immigration laws, supporting immigration officers. Next, four, climate change. And just because I only have 10 up there doesn't mean that there's more opposition, but 10 is enough. Platform A, climate change is real, and it's an urgent threat to our economy, our security, our children's health, and future. Immediately, we'll rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement on day one. Platform B rejects the full findings of the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and sees that this is a political mechanism for political gain. Healthcare. Platform A, free universal health care for all, taxpayer-funded women's health care, otherwise known as women's health care abortion, reestablish the Affordable Health Care Act. Platform B, establish safe and competitive health care markets for all, elective coverage plans available. Economy. Platform A, to reduce income inequality, especially for people of color. Higher taxes required. Larger government needed. And address the quote-unquote Trump recession. Platform B, advocates the right to pursue personal prosperity without government interference, lower taxes, and create smaller government. Issue number seven is hotly debated and is keenly different between both platforms. The police. Now, this has never been on the radar before. Platform A, defund and reconstruct police. Retrain officers with community policing. Increase police diversity among its ranks. Add 100,000 contact tracing officers. Platform B, support the police. Add officers, increase training, increase equipment, enhance penalties for crimes against police officers. Number eight, platform A, appoint pro-choice judges, equality for all people, repeal the Hyde Amendment immediately, and the Constitution needs updating. Now, that's my vernacular, not theirs. Platform B says, appoint conservative judges, pro-life judges, traditional family supporters, and follow the Constitution as written. Education. Now, that's been on the agenda a few times. Platform A, again, am I supporting one party over another? No. I'm not. I'm just telling you what I've read. Platform A, world-class education for every zip code mentioned 11 times. Reproportioning funds to lower income areas. Restricts school choice, charter schools, and homeschooling. Platform B says, protects school choice, teachers, charter schools, homeschooling, and improving all public schools. And number 10, it too has never been on the agenda, but there is a stark difference between both platforms that I read, and that is COVID. Who would have imagined, would you imagine influenza was on the political platform? Or some of the other diseases of modern times? Why is COVID such a huge part of the political platform today? I read both platforms. Again, this is not Facebook, because you can read all the Facebook you want. Platform A says, worldwide pandemic made worse by the current president, a national mask mandate, national testing, national closures, and contact tracing. Platform B, yes, worldwide pandemic. Initial steps prevented many deaths and the spread of it. Deeply politicized, and if you're healthy, no mask required, wants to reopen the economy, reopen schools, and wants to reopen churches. So I'd like you to add those up. You don't need to speak it out loud. You notice I'm not even giving you mine because I don't want to risk or offend. I want to be a good steward of what we have here today. Now, I see a dramatic increase on social media. Christians on social media who have tremendous political opinions. And is it wrong or right for a Christian to have a political opinion? Perfectly okay. I just want you to make sure you speak with truth and accuracy. But there's such disagreement between good Christian people on Facebook that they're being counterproductive. If you're a non-Christian watching and reading Christian posts, do you think right now in how we treat one another, what we say to one another, that that would cause someone to come to Jesus? I see a lot of people sharing other people's posts, other people's images, what this party stands for, what that party stands for. Guess what? I don't think I have the right to post anything until I've read actually what they stand for. This is their contract with one another. One party doesn't really seem to know who it is right now. One party is trying to keep the important things important to them still. There's a great diversity among them. But let me take all of that and remind you of three very important verses that we've been talking and sharing about. Number one, it was a summation of what was happening to the nation of Israel after generations of ignoring God's word. And everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And what did that cause? We've said this over and over. Chaos, confusion, it was a disaster. And then we go to 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. Very, very important verse, two verses, for those of us who are living in end times, the season of end times as we see it. It says, be on your guard. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And verse 14 all by itself says what? Do everything in love. And I've asked you, which is hardest to practice? Verse 14. Because our current culture is so emotionally fueled that if you don't agree with me, I have the right to just totally tear you apart. Say anything I want. When we didn't have Facebook, people didn't disagree as much. Why? Because we talked face to face. And this platform has allowed rudeness to be rampant. I have been asking the Lord to give me the eyes of the spirit world so I can see and discern what's happening. I've asked the Lord to help us stand firm on our faith. Why do you think we're here today? We're not going to let some ruler or authority dictate how we are going to worship our God. And I'm going to be courageous. I tell you what I think. In fact, if you want, I'm going to give you the opinion at the very end. You know, I've seen so many Christians out there, this is what I stand for. And you just say, wow, that's awesome. That's great. And you want to copy and paste it. But if you have time, and if you dare, maybe I'll tell you what I stand for personally and what I don't stand for in this election cycle. But it has to be grounded on this passage right here. And I must, above all, do it with love. Even the party, politicians, and people who disagree with me. Right now, I'm telling you, Lord, is there something I'm missing? Why is there such division? It never used to be like that. How many have ever prayed, Lord, come quickly? I used to pray that, but I've got people in my life that aren't ready for him to come quickly yet. So, Holy Spirit, come quickly. That's what I'm praying for. And maybe I'll do less. I feel like the only one on this island. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Do you see where our battle comes from? How many of you know that I've been wanting to move on from this series for a while? There's a book in the Bible I've been studying I want to go through. Anyone know what it is? Prophetically, tell me, what book do you want to study? Exodus, it's a great book. And the Lord keeps on saying, that would be good, but Exodus will still be there, but you're not done. And I finally got done with this. And the Lord said, not yet. Is there any more room for opinion on? Yeah, it's like, Lord, I can't, there's no more room. One more thing. And it really addresses the division in the church and the community. And it is next week. Learning how to stand when others tell you to sit. How to properly, spiritually stand in accountability to God and accountability to one another when you're being told to sit down.